Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Basket of Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. Tom Withers is in for Andy today. Tom, are you still smiling over what happened in Ann Arbor the other day?
That wasn't a bad thing. I tell you what, it was one of the rare times that the game went exactly how I thought it would play out. I predicted 27-10 and it ended up being 27-9. I felt like if the Buckeyes got up on them, that there was no way Bryce Underwood was throwing his way back into that game. And yet it feels like order has been restored to the universe.
I got to bring Doug in right now. He's on the fan hotline. Doug LaMaurice from the Bill and Doug show. Bill Rabinowitz, co-host of the show.
Not Bill Rabinowitz. Bill Landis.
Bill Landis. My apologies.
Yeah. All good.
Doug, thank you very much.
Another great Bill.
Doug LaMaurice is with us. How are you, sir?
I'm great. And Tom Withers is there. What a treat.
Order has been restored to the universe, says Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, and I bet Tom was wrong on his previous four Ohio State-Michigan predictions, right?
Yeah, you're right about that. I think everybody was, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, who knew that losing to Michigan last year would turn Ohio State into the monster that they've become, right?
Yeah, it's odd. I mean, I think it's to be this high, 16 straight national champs, undefeated number one, from how low they were after that game. I can't think of that depth to this height in any other situation in sports that springs to mind, right? Yeah. Of course they were good. They were a good team.
Right.
But that game means so much, and that loss was so unexpected, and questions about the future of the program, the future of the coach, and now it feels like Ohio State's the dominant program in college football 365 days later. It's a remarkable turnaround.
What did you think of the way the game played out? What did you think of the strategy that Ryan Day took into that game? Doug, I was impressed. I thought he coached a heck of a game.
Yeah, so, I mean, we obviously made a lot of it stick to the routine during the week, and I think, they had been so successful in the playoff with that plan, and it's sort of like, well, it is the Michigan game. It does matter, but also sort of treat it like the beginning of the playoffs, right? And so I think that attitude – and like I was saying, back in the day when Jim Tressel was a head coach, we'd talk to 12 or 15 players during Michigan week, and we'd be asking every player how much their grandma hated Michigan, right? And we were getting all the pageantry of the game from inside the building.
And that's good content.
If inside the building is focused on the game, then that's okay. Then the fans can bring it. And we communicate with fans. Fans were fired up. Fans know how much it matters. But if those guys were focused, so be it. And then, I really thought when you really look at the history of the game, and I looked at about the last 20 years, very often the best defense wins. People like to talk about the rushing yardage and toughness in the game. Actually, the best defense often is the formula. And Michigan in the previous 4 years probably had the better defense three of those 4 years, right? So this year, Ohio State clearly had the better defense. And so even when things went wrong early, they held them to field goals, didn't give up a touchdown, and they rode that defense. And that did not surprise me or I think anybody else.
No, Doug, and it's a great segue. I'd like to talk to you about this defense. I don't think people are understanding from a historical standpoint what this team is doing on a week-to-week basis. You know, I go way back with the Buckeyes in terms of, you know, that 1973 defense with, you know, led by Randy Gratishar and Neil Colsey and Doug Plank and Van DeCree and Pete Cusick and all kinds of talent. And you've seen teams during the years you've been in Ohio, at Ohio State, great defenses, the championship teams, what have you. This group, though, is different in my mind. And I'd like you to talk about especially the three guys in Downs and Reese and Styles. Ohio State's had dudes like that before, but I'm not sure on the same team what their ability to play multiple positions and what Matt Patricia is doing with that group. Can you just talk about what this team looks like to you on a week-to-week basis?
Yeah, like, you know, we use NFL around college football a lot now because the sport has changed so much, but I do think the idea of this is an NFL kind of defense, right? And it starts with Matt Patricia as a defensive coordinator, but these guys are so smart. Caleb Downs is so smart, and Sonny Styles and Arvell Reese are so smart, and they're so versatile. And Ohio State, for its great linebacker history, had kind of hit a lull there for a little bit where Agreed. They weren't dominated by linebacker play. And when you see, you know, even like Arvell Reese was just tearing teams apart early on, and now he's not coming after the quarterback as much. They're not using him that way, but the threat of him, the menace of him, changes offenses. And then Caleb Downs is like three different players in one. You know, he can play deep, he can play in the middle, he can get up on the line of scrimmage. So I think like those guys, the way Matt Patricia moves the pieces around, it's not quite as much about getting after you and sacks and that kind of thing, but it's just like, we're going to do our jobs and we dare you to move down the field on us, and nobody can, and nobody can score touchdowns on them because they make you be perfect.
Doug LaMaurice joining us. Doug, the fact that the Buckeyes changed both coordinators, you know, heading into this season, and Matt Patricia has done a phenomenal job, I think is an interesting aspect of this team this year. I'd love your thoughts on that, but also this. Patricia is a guy that obviously had great success in New England, not as a head coach, not as an offensive coordinator when he was with New England for a year. Is he a guy who you think is a college guy for long term, or is he a guy that might not be around and might head back to the pros?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you know, as what happens, it happens a lot with these guys when they come back down to this level, and he hadn't been in college football in two decades. They say they're reinvigorated. You're around young people, and it's less about, you know, the money, although it's partly about the money now. So, I mean, like, I think that's been real for him. I think maybe it really does end up back as an NFL defensive coordinator for him, because, you know, it kind of, once he left the Lions as the head coach, it wasn't like people were knocking down his door to be an NFL DC, right? So, I mean, I think he's shown that. But I think the other thing that happened here, and it's funny, Jim Knowles and Chip Kelly did a great job here last year, and everybody thought, I thought they were big losses. Chip Kelly got fired by the Raiders, and Jim Knowles was part of a collapse at Penn State. And so, like, what is it? And I think maybe the view has turned, and it's dangerous to use it because Nick Saban is the best college football coach of all time. But we just see some things with Ryan Day and the way he has control of the program. Coordinators in and out. You know, Kirby Smart was there for 8 years as a defensive coordinator, but he moved offensive coordinators in and out. And after Kirby left, he moved DCs in and out, and it kind of didn't matter. They were still great because of Nick Saban. And maybe that's how we should view Ohio State. That, yeah, Kelly and Knowles did a great job last year, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, what are they going to do? And if Patricia leaves, or if Brian Hartline gets the head coaching job eventually, right, maybe they'll be okay because you trust the guy in charge to make a good hire, and it's about the program.
You know,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On Saturday, Doug, all I could think of, not all I could think of, but a couple guys came to mind to me during the game. One was Woody Hayes, obviously, after the 20-play, 81-yard drive that kind of took the spirit away from Michigan in the second half. I'm sure Woody would have enjoyed every second of that. But then also John Cooper, and I kept thinking about, Doug, a guy that whose legacy was defined in many ways by the rivalry. Unlike Ryan Day, he never got that second chance at redemption, right? They would lose that last game of the year, and then maybe other than the Rose Bowl year in 97 when they went out and beat Arizona State, he never got a chance at redemption, revenge. So can you just talk about what Ryan Day has become? I mean, it feels like the pressure is off of him, you know, because of the national championship and now with the win over Michigan. What do you think is the continued evolution here as Ryan Day as the Ohio State coach?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. What if it's that winning the national championship helped Ryan Day figure out the Michigan rivalry?
Exactly.
And that would make the fan base mad, wouldn't it?
That's the opportunity that Coop never got.
Right.
Because I think you could go through the history of when it was just a national championship game or a four-game playoff and say, what coaches in the modern era would have been most helped by a 12-team playoff? John Cooper's in the top five.
No doubt.
If not number one. And so that idea that Ryan Day, they learned a lot from last year, and now they applied it to Michigan, and now they've figured out Michigan, and now maybe they're off to the races. Now, of course, is he going to beat Michigan every year? I would think, no, he's not going to beat Michigan every year. But whatever the thing was last year is gone. So I think to think of Coop that way, I think it's, and you know, because it gives you a confidence. You know, right. that I think, and a lot of our our readers and our listeners are saying this, like, this was doing it Ryan Day's way. You didn't do it Tressel's way. You didn't do it Urban's way. But you have to have the confidence. Where does the confidence come from to approach the Michigan game your way? Well, it comes from the ring on your finger, right? It comes from winning four playoff games that way, and it gives you confidence. And so, you know, it's a funny way to think about it, but and I said, I'm out of the business of asking Ohio State fans what's more important, beating Michigan or winning the national championship, because the answer to both is they are both as important as they can be, right? You don't have to pick. They're both 1,000 out of 1,000. They're both 1,000,000 out of 1,000,000. And so now that he has both under his belt simultaneously, who knows what this guy might do? Because I do think, generally speaking, the program, where it's situated in the modern era, they're in as good of a spot as any team in the country.
You have a Big Ten championship game coming up, Doug, and Doug LeMaurice joining us. I wonder, tell me the importance of the Big Ten championship game when you have the national playoffs coming up afterwards.
Yeah. They had conference calls on Sunday with Ryan Day and Kurt Cignetti, and that's the question I asked both of them, because that's the question we've been getting from fans. How much does this matter? And they both said it really matters. And the thing is, like, they're both going to get buys, win or lose, out of this. So they're not going to play for like 26 or 27 days after the Big Ten championship game. So you'll have time to prep, time to get rested, time to get healthy. Indiana hasn't won a Big Ten championship since 1967. They've never been in the Big Ten championship game. Ohio State hasn't been to Indy in 5 years because they started losing to Michigan, and Michigan started taking that spot. So they have reason. They really want to win too. And it's the only two undefeated teams. Like, you know, we asked our readers, like, if Michigan and the national championship are 100 out of 100, what's this? And most people are like 70, 80, 90. Nobody's saying a 5. You know, I do think, like, if it does feel like for some reason Saturday doesn't matter, if you watch the game and it feels like the teams aren't going hard, then I think you have to reevaluate college football, because this is one versus two. These are the only two undefeated teams. Like, this is as good as it gets. It's not the national title, but it, in many ways, it's as good as it gets. And if it doesn't matter, then what are we doing? Why are we playing them? But I would say from the right now, the way the coaches are talking, I think they're both going to go pretty hard, and they both want that trophy.
Speaking of trophies, is there a Heisman Trophy up for grabs in this one as well? You've got the two top quarterbacks and probably the co-favorites for the award.
Yeah, I mean, the betting lines have those two guys far and away ahead. You know, Diogo Pavia from Vanderbilt kind of floating there in third.
Right,
his
right.
season's done. You know, a lot of people, you know, we're talking Heisman moments when Indiana had to come back against Penn State. And I've been saying for a month, I think it comes down to this, because you could see this tracking this way. And I'm a Heisman voter, and I don't know for sure, but I just, you know, Indiana and Ohio State play, and then you sit down on Sunday and vote for the loser. Like, you might, right? I mean,
right.
If the losing quarterback throws for 400 yards and three touchdowns and the winning quarterback throws for 150, you could vote for the loser.
Right.
But I mean, isn't it? It's an individual award, but it's also a team award. It's an award about success. It's an award about the story of the season. So I thought for a month and a half it was going to come down to Stan versus Mendoza in this game, and I think it still is. Now, if they both throw three picks, right, then maybe Diogo Pavia could win. Maybe Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame, who's also done with the regular season, maybe he could win. But my bet is the Heisman Trophy winner will be the quarterback of the winning team from this game.
And Doug, I would have thought that it would be a touchdown, but maybe Julian Sands' Heisman moment was the pick he threw on the second attempt at Michigan last week. It seemed like that just turned that game around for him. When everybody thought this was the moment where, like, is he going to crumble? Is it too cold for him? Is the stage too big for him? He responded. And can you just talk about his development on a week-to-week basis, how we've seen the growth from the Texas game on? He's become something special.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still standing outside the Woody Hayes Athletic Center here because we just got done talking to Ryan Day. Ryan Day was saying it feels like Julian Sands came out of that game a different person.
Wow.
He said it was like a sailor going off to sea. And, like, he comes back after his travels, and he has a long beard, and it's like he's a new man. It's like, man, it was just a 3.5-hour game. What are we talking about here? But it's the game, and, like, people kind of had been joking because, like, that Penn State-Indiana game when Mendoza and Indiana drove down and won at the end, like, he played poorly at the beginning.
Right.
And some Ohio State fans were like, well, does Julian Sands have to suck for a while in a game in order to get any credit for this? And then it was like, I don't know, maybe. So, yeah, so, like, he made, like, his worst mistake of the season in the Michigan game. And we had talked all week because the two previous years, Kyle McCord and Will Howard had both thrown first quarter picks that led to touchdowns. And Bill Landis and I were saying, like, we don't think Julian Sands like that. And then he did it in the second play of the game, and everybody was screaming at us, like, you jinxed this guy. And then he played great. So, you know, this is an incredibly efficient offense. It's also a big play offense. They're the number one team in the country. And – you know, like, in some ways, because I'll tell you, like, Troy Smith was an absolutely spectacular player, right? And in 04 and 05, he was a monster. But in 06, he was more of a point guard. He was more of a field general, and he could make huge plays, but he had great receivers. And I'm like, Julian Sands in 2025, Troy Smith in 2006 on the way to the Heisman, I'm not so sure it's that different. And Troy Smith that year wrapped up the Heisman as the number one team beating number two. And Julian Sands has a chance to wrap up the Heisman on the number one team beating number two.
Doug LaMaurice joining us from the Bill and Doug Show. The climate of college football continues to just baffle me. James Franklin gets huge walking away money. Brian Kelly gets huge walking away money. Lane Kiffin does a great job at Miss, just walks out the door, and people are throwing his suits out onto the driveway. Doug, is this insane, or is it just the way this is going to be for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, college football is incapable of holistic thinking. Everything happens in a silo, and this thing, we did this. And like, well, how does it affect everything else? And I was like, I don't know. We just did a thing. So like, if you had a plan, it wouldn't go like this. Right. So I still believe in we could get to a plan because we have come a long way. Right. Like we have come a long way. And I think these players putting their brains and bodies on the line and now getting compensated for it. We came a long way to get to that point. Right. And we've changed conferences and we've changed everything. We expanded the playoff. I think 12 is better than 4. I think we've come a long way from that. Right. So I hope we can get to a spot where like coaches are not leaving in the middle of this, you know. Mike Tomlin's not leaving in the middle of the season to go coach the Browns, right? Like, it would be crazy. No one, like, that's just, but so, like, why do we have to accept that for our sport?
Agreed.
You know, and so I understand academic calendars, but it's like there's so little about college football that's about academics anymore. Like, why can't we just let the football schedule be the football schedule and figure some stuff out and say, nobody can be hired until the season ends. And you can talk to people, but then that way finish the season with your team and do whatever. And we have, you know, national signing days tomorrow. That's why all these coaches move, because they feel like they have to get their signing day class signed. That's a silly time. This is like if you had free agency in the middle of the playoffs, right? It doesn't make any sense if you had the draft in the middle of the playoffs. So I believe in the idea that someday we can get there, but it's baby steps. But we have to remember that I think the sport's gotten better over the past 10 years.
Why has it been so quiet at Penn State? What's going on there?
I mean, right? Everyone thinks it's Kalani Sitake from BYU. I haven't heard in the last hour if maybe something happened there. But, I mean, I will say, again, like everyone's always like, you're losing your recruiting class and you have to do this. I just think, like, you're probably going to lose your recruiting class anyway. Like, the idea of rushing to save four commits when you're making what you hope is a 10-year hire, like, I would rather take my time and get it right. So if they have eyes on a guy, you know, Bob Chesney was a guy who was mentioned there and wound up taking the UCLA job. I don't feel like Penn State's, like, necessarily getting the dregs of the process just because they didn't move faster. But if they have their guy targeted, if it winds up being Sitake, that guy's a great coach and an out-of-the-box hire. So I still think it can be okay there.
Doug, thank you very much. As always, great to have you talk with us. Where can people read your fine writing?
Oh, I appreciate this. I was doing some other stuff, but what it is now is I'm working with Phil Landis, who people also remember from Cleveland.com. We covered Ohio State together there. We now have a Substack, billanddougosu.substack.com. But just go on Substack and you'll find us. We have podcasts there. We're writing there. We have chats there with fans. And then just on YouTube and podcast feeds, the Bill and Doug Show. We talk a lot of Ohio State. We talk some national college football. And we certainly appreciate all the fans out there that have followed us through the years.
Doug, as always, top-notch stuff. Thank you, sir.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.